Welcome to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprise throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour podcast recorded every week at the studios of historic WJR Radio in Detroit. Both hours of the show are available each week on this podcast and are streamed to our affiliates across the state of Michigan. We're also proud to be part of Detroit's newest and fastest-growing podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now, it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, this is Foster Brown, co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker and my team of tech experts and a special guest in studio to help us cover some of the security stories that are in the news. But you're in for a treat. We're back here live for you for the next hour and a half until the big game with MSU starts. So stay tuned. It's the Internet Advisor on the air for you on the great voice of the Great Lakes, WJR. I think it was Mark Twain who said, the news of my demise has been greatly exaggerated. And I think that that may be the case for our program, the Internet Advisor. After 20 years of being on WJR, bounced around a little bit, Mr. Gary Baker, we are back on the air here today, live. And we will be continuing a podcast every week that those who enjoy this program can tune into as well. But today, it's all live, and let me say hello to Gary. Gary, it's good to have you with us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, down in the marina.
It's great to be here. I'm actually doing the show instead of from the boat, which is where I usually do the remote. I'm in the captain's quarters in the Bahia Mar marina.
I'm sure there's a bar involved.
Well, you know, it's here, but it's not very well stocked. There's not very many people that use this facility.
Not so well stocked, is that because you're there?
You know, I wish I could claim some reason to have something to do with it. But,
I'm sorry. You know, we're jumping in to harass Gary right away, and that's just unfair. Gary.
But it's typical. Oh. Very typical.
Ed Rudell, the harasser. The first harassor here is a part of our tech team, along with Cal Carson. Cal, good to have you here.
It's so good to hear from Gary the Baker Man.
And now I know how you feel when you come back.
Oh, yeah. This is just, doesn't it just feel great to be back in the seat again?
My first time back in the saddle here.
It's not hard for all of us to get back, but it is so good to see you on Skype and to hear your voice again. And I'm sure a lot of our listening audience feel the same way. Thank God for your recovery. And we welcome you back with open arms. And so do they, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Thank you so much. By the way, one of the other voices you heard here was Kasten Thomas, who is going to be our special guest host for this program. He is an expert on security. And boy, there's been a lot of stories about that, which we'll get to shortly. Kasten, thanks again for coming by.
Well, I don't feel special anymore. It's
yes. Yeah, you've been here regularly.
It's fun being here quite a bit. It's always a joy, and welcome back.
Well, guys,
you're always special to us.
Gary, this is kind of interesting because it's actually taking place closer to you where you are down in the tip of Florida. But in Puerto Rico, I just saw this week that Project Loon is floating over Puerto Rico and delivering the internet. Anybody remember what Project Loon is?
Was that the air balloons?
Yes.
Basically, that provide Wi-Fi access?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
It was launched by Alphabet, Google's parent company, and the balloons can create a network to restore wireless communication for most of the island's 3.4 million residents. And they just float them over the island, apparently, and they can had them stay there, I think.
Well, hopefully they're retractable for the next hurricane.
Yeah,
I hate to say.
Be gone with the wind pretty quickly.
But it's fascinating that, you know, this project, which looked kind of crazy, and...
Well, it's not so crazy. Remember, no. I mean, in 2003, was it 2003 or 4 that we had Katrina? And remember, we were talked to a tech company that put up the temporary cell towers for Katrina so that the emergency responders could communicate in some fashion or another. And then also remember, that was the time that they discovered that so many of our emergency services responders used different frequencies and they couldn't communicate to each other. And so the internet service that they provided in after Hurricane Katrina was necessary for the emergency services to communicate to each other.
Absolutely.
So that makes perfect sense that Google would deploy the Loon services down there.
Puerto Rico will be Project Loon's biggest challenge since Alphabet X, previously known as Google X, officially launched the effort in 2013. X's plan is to float the solar-powered helium-filled balloons about 19 kilometers above Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands for up to 6 months, creating a wireless network on the ground covering nearly 7,800 square kilometers. The island itself is just over 9,000 square kilometers, so most of the island. The balloons can stay aloft in the stratosphere for up to 100 days or more at a time, according to the company. They change position by navigating the stratosphere's well-charted wind currents.
So the question I have is this Google doing this as a benevolent thing, or are someone being charged for this service?
That's a really good question.
Think of all the publicity they're getting on this.
Well, I would see that would be one of the primary things.
You know, and the vessel that, you know, they probably have a vessel out at sea. Gary, we're going to have to send you over there and see if you could find the vessel that's floating in there. And it probably has a big fishing reel on the back, so it shouldn't be that hard to spot.
You know, I'm still there. I'll go. You know. Just send me. Hey, you know, this is... There's a number of things, when Ed mentioned Katrina, there's a number of things that have happened. Terry Takei briefed us at the CIO Kitchen Cabinet meeting yesterday about FirstNet, and it's a government response that started way back with 7-Eleven, finally became law a few years ago, and it's starting to move forward.
Yeah, we've covered that here.
We should have Terry on.
I want to have him back on, yes.
It's becoming real.
We covered them when they first kicked it off in the state in Virginia, thanks to Teresa at AT&T, who are the people who were behind this, it was just launched officially here in the state of Michigan. But it's a marvelous system that allows the first responders to be able to have clear lines of communication. Hey, when we come back, Kasten, we're going to have you step in and talk to us about a big leak that has continued to happen with Equifax. Apparently, they have recognized or publicly admitted to another leak that took place earlier on this year in March and May, was discovered in July. We'll do that in just a moment when we return. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, and Kasten Thomas is with us, CEO and founder of InterWorks Technology out of Ann Arbor. Kasten, give us quickly a thumbnail of what your company is and does.
We work with large organizations, hospitals, state government, county government, large corporations, helping them with advanced security, the things that other people aren't doing yet. We're finding and deploying really, really cool new technologies that are just coming onto the market.
Excellent. Excellent to hear. All right, let's talk about the Equifax leak. Now, this is apparently, and you were discussing this during the break, this is not new news in the sense that it's part of the leak that happened before, am I right?
Well, there was
a
leak.
Or this is a further...
The evolution is that in September, Equifax went public with a breach that they found on July 29th.
Okay.
And there's been testimony by Equifax executives in front of Congress this last week. And it's just capturing a lot of news because more and more information comes out. Like the hack was, there was another hack 2 months before the one that they announced publicly and added additional people whose information had been exposed.
And this was to a help page, I believe, right?
No, this was their core systems. there's a concept that companies that are advanced in their security use called least privilege. And without getting too technical, the idea is that an administrator or somebody with special security access has, you know, administrative rights. They can control everything. Well, there needs to be an audit in place and restrictions on who has access to those privileges. So, you know, we're working with a lot of companies in my company on how to restrict the privileges, audit it, and only give temporary access and records and logs.
So somebody doesn't have the keys to the kingdom walking around in their pocket.
And what happened was a patch was not applied to a critical server. And that was well known in the hacker community. And it allowed the hackers to get what's called root level privilege, or the highest level of access to that server. And once you do that, you can cover your tracks. You can go anywhere you want to. You can pretend that you're someone else.
It's Candyland for the hackers at that point.
Oh, it's better than Candyland.
Apparently some media outlets are suggesting that this may be a state-sponsored attack.
Well,
because of the, I guess because of the enormity of the information that they've gotten.
Well,
one was 1.5. No, 1.5 million. No.
145.5 million records.
Yeah. So about records. And how many U.S. citizens do we have? What is it? 325 million is our population.
Wow.
So, and that's what we know about now.
Yeah.
You know, as we go further, as you found in Yahoo, they originally announced that 500 million. Accounts were hacked, and then 2 years later, Yahoo came forward and said, no, it was 3 billion accounts were hacked.
Jeez.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the same thing happened here.
So what Equifax did is then they immediately put up a website and allowed people to have free protection for a year.
Right.
And the website that was thrown up was kind of confusing, and you had to give up your rights to be able to join in a class action lawsuit. And then, surprisingly, and this is what threw me, I had to provide 6 digits of my Social Security number instead of just 4 to even sign up.
And to the people who just released all the digits.
Exactly. And I just said, I'm not doing it. You know, and a lot of people I know and a lot of coworkers I work with, they did it anyways. And I'm thinking to myself, why would I just relinquish all this information and sign up for this protection, giving up my rights to any type of class action lawsuit? Not that I'd do it, I guess. But then also, they just lost all my information.
Yeah, but the other thing, I just have to make a note on that. You said they were offering protection, but it's not protection, it's just credit monitoring.
Right.
Yeah. Gary?
Yeah, so it's you don't give up your right to enter in a class action lawsuit. That was very specific. They said you don't give up your right to do that.
Oh, okay.
But they do want you to protect. They do want you to get, you know, to protect yourself. The real significance of what happened was, when you know somebody breaches your credit card information, they change the credit card number, right? There's
right.
a financial loss, but no big deal. They, with the Equifax breach, they have access now to information that's very, very hard to change, like your birth date, right? Mm-hmm. Can't change your birth date.
Right.
Can't change your Social Security number. Very hard to do that. In fact, we may be in the cusp of not using Social Security numbers now for identification, because
right.
everybody has everybody else's Social Security number.
Well, the thing is,
can move. They do have your address. They can move. You can move. But this is really information that allows them to open up credit in your name.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's the significance of this breach. It is beyond, and the company knew about this problem. They didn't patch the server. They knew they didn't patch the server. Hey. And they still didn't patch it. And it was struts out of Apache. And, you know, sometimes there are patches. You have to apply them. And if you don't apply them, if you're the CEO, you should lose your job. If you're CIO, they should lose their job. If they're CISO, they should lose their job. Yeah. And guess what? All three did.
It should be something that we all take very seriously, and that is protecting ourselves. So how can we protect ourselves in the case, for instance, of Equifax?
Well, there are specific steps that I would suggest that everyone take. Number one, you can go to websites, and I think we're going to post this on the Internet Advisor website, get your free credit report. Okay, there are three or four or five credit reporting agencies you can go to. And Congress passed the U.S. Congress passed a law a few years ago that said that we're all entitled to one free credit report per year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do that. The other thing that I would say is freeze your credit. That's not a simple process, but it does allow you to restrict access to people having access to your credit.
Well, how do you freeze your credit?
Well, there's a process. You have to contact each of the credit reporting organizations and put literally a freeze, which means no one can request your credit report and no one can open up credit cards or a bank account or anything like that because those organizations aren't going to do anything without having access to your credit report.
Now, that would be Equifax and what are some
of Equifax, TransUnion, and
Experian.
And when you do that freeze, they're going to give you a code number that goes with that freeze. It behooves you to protect it and make sure you don't lose it. Because if you lose it, you lose access to
your credit, you which is worse than identity theft.
Yeah, you can't even unfreeze it.
Well, the question is, if the credit card companies are automatically issuing new cards, which I usually get my credit cards replaced, it seems like once a year, sometimes twice a year by my banks, unbeknownst to me because of something that's happened or they've heard about. So when I'm issued a new credit card, will I be able to be issued a new credit card if I'm frozen?
Oh, sure, because the bank already has an established relationship with you.
Perfect.
And they've already run through that credit.
Good.
Now, when you freeze it, if you're going to buy a new home or you're looking for a new job where someone is going to check your credit, between 24 and 48 hours, you can have that credit unfrozen and then freeze it again once
For a nominal fee. Right.
Actually, right now, once you sign up for the freezing and Equifax's offering free freezing until the end of the year, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So you can go about that, and I believe that if you do it before the end of the year, that it's a lifetime account.
Okay. So you don't, as Gary was saying, Ed, you still are going to be part, you could be part of a class action suit.
Okay.
Even if you work to protect yourself. And then the other thing is that you can go to Equifax and effectively freeze your credit report.
Yeah, but you have to go to each individual credit reporting organization and freeze it with each one of them.
So the other thing that happened in the news is that now it was reported that Equifax, that some of their subpages on their main website have been compromised as well, taking you to other
Well, that was the help page, right, that right, I think the other, I saw.
Yes.
Yeah, there's just so much information coming out about the mismanagement of the security within Equifax. There was a website, in fact, the Equifax website in Argentina had the administrator password admin.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the default for the web service, and they hadn't changed that.
It's mind-boggling that they could not, I mean, since 2000, it's mind-boggling to me that anybody could imagine being able to cap that much information unsecured. Hmm. I just don't see how you can do that.
These are complex organizations
or available,
complex systems.
Or available from the internet. I mean, come on, it should not be available from the internet.
It's astounding,
And the other thing that my original Social Security number card that I got from the Social Security office when I was born said this number should not be used for anything but the Social Security Department and shall not be used as identification by any other individuals. It's there, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. And how's that working?
Yeah,
for
it didn't
you?
Work out very good. Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, Kasten, I want to talk about Kaspersky. Thank you for joining us for this live edition of the Internet Advisor. On occasion during the fall, when MSU, for instance, the football games start a little later or they're bumped, they have a bye week, we get to join you here on our flagship station, WJR. But other than that, you'll be able to find a podcast version of our program, thanks to my two compatriots here, Ed Riddell and Cal Carson, who learned the ropes from Mike Parsons, who's one of the programmers and engineers here. And they surprised the daylights out of me last week when they called up and we had a great time on the air, and then that is what is posted right now as our podcast. As you can hear, my voice is still coming back, but it's on the way. Right now, we have Kasten Thomas in studio with us, CEO and founder of InterWorks, a security firm from Ann Arbor, and we're talking about two major security issues that have been in the news this week. One of them, this is ongoing, actually, for quite a while, Kasten, has to do with Kaspersky, the Russian-based security firm. And up until recently, that hadn't been an issue, but all of a sudden, it is a huge issue that they're based in Russia. Is that really fair, do you think?
I don't know. You know, when we get into the course of politics and hearing what's happening and everything gets blamed on the Russians or the Koreans.
Yeah, it almost sounds like guilt by association in some ways. I don't know. What do you think, Cal?
You know, unfortunately, we're in this global society now where everything comes from everywhere in the world. And some products that you get, I guess, are okay. And other products, you know, you have to watch out for. I mean, we probably consume billions and billions of products out of China.
Yeah.
But there was a time when they were using lead-based paint in their in some of the toys they were doing, and everybody got all up in arms about it. And then after a while, it was like, they quit using it, and we still buy stuff from them. So should we continue to buy software from a Russian supplier? Well, it all depends. Do you trust them that they're not doing something when you load it on your computer or not?
Yeah.
That's up to you. I mean,
well, you mentioned the Chinese, and that's a perfect example. Nah, who knows what's in some of the products that we're getting?
Well, you know, that goes back to something that happened, what was it, 5 years ago, Kasten, or 8 years ago, and that the same agency, the U.S. agency, basically said, do not buy the Chinese WoW routers, because they have code in there that basically would allow them to, you know, infiltrate your home wireless networks. But at the same time, the U.S. government had worked with manufacturers in the United States, asking them to allow them to monitor home routers as well. So it was just like what's the term?
The sword cuts both ways.
Yeah. So it was just, you know,
guess
calling
where
the kettle
iPhones
black.
Are built.
Yeah.
And Android phones. There have actually been cases of Android phones that were built in China that had root level access. Again, you know, that most important level of access to a device, it was compromised. And so those companies could see everything that was going on. And even if we had security on our phones, that had the ability to bypass those phones and collect all the information on those phones and see everything that was being done.
That Gary, sounds great. As long as they get me a good spring roll, I'm all set.
Gary, I'm curious about what your thoughts are on that. Boycotting.
So we found out that Kaspersky, who is a Russian company, was asked to and has participated and cooperated with the Russian government. Didn't that just happen to Apple, where the U.S. government asked them to cooperate?
Yeah. It's a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black. But, well, anyway, it's resulted in Best Buy and Office Depot taking all the Kaspersky products off the shelf.
Right.
Well, if it does best, if it helps them to maintain their customer base and they can sell and folks aren't going to go nuts about it, then you do it. Maybe a bunch of people walked in and said, you know, if you got a Russian product in here, we're not going to buy. You know, in that particular case, you take the Russian product off the shelf.
Well, they're going for McAfee LiveSafe, and I don't know that I've seen any great accolades for McAfee products.
I haven't seen any.
What do you think?
It may be the motivation that that's where their highest profit margin is. So you just never know. I mean, we're dealing with two things. We're dealing with an open capitalistic marketplace, and we're dealing in the world of espionage, and those two things are coming into conflict. So who do you believe? I don't know.
Okay. As a security expert, Kasten, what do you run to keep yourself safe?
Oh, well, number one, since I'm in security, I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing and announce it to the world.
Very wise.
Let's do it from a different angle. Do you use a commercial product or something special?
No, we use commercial products, very advanced products. I actually have three versions of malware protection running on all of my computers in our company.
Are you running Windows?
Yes.
Okay.
I am running Windows 10.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the interesting things is that so much of the security stuff is happening, you know, whether it's Yahoo, whether it's, you know, any of the big hacks have been because people weren't patching their systems.
Mm.
You know, in every one of the major announcements mm-hmm. of major malware and ransomware this year, every one of them were prevented by just being on the current level of Windows patches.
Hmm.
So is it safe to say, rephrase that.
No, it's never safe
Is it safer to say that if you maintain your patches and avoid being spoofed or fished upon, or just, you know, just using good common sense when you're using your computer and the internet, that sort of thing, that will reduce the likelihood of you getting in trouble?
It will reduce the likelihood, but even with phishing attacks, and that's where people send an email or a web link that can compromise your computer, because of the information that has been exfiltrated by the potentially by what the Republican Party released, by what's happened with any number of breaches and exfiltration of data, is that information about us is on the dark web and is in the hands of the hacker, and that can be used against us. That's my big concern is mm-hmm. now if you get a letter at home from the IRS or Equifax or your bank, the hackers, as a result of this Equifax breach and other ones, have your name, have your birthday,
yeah.
have your
yeah.
account numbers, have your social security number. So you can't even trust what comes in the U.S. mail, because anybody can print a letterhead from Equifax, from Comerica, from Flagstar, from the IRS, and it ends up in your wow. mailbox.
Wow. So rather than respond to anything that you get in the mail, if you have doubts about it, contact the vendor in particular directly on your own and make sure that you validate the information.
Yeah, yeah, because what comes in a letter might be a phone number that isn't the phone number of the support desk of the IRS or your bank.
Yeah,
or
yeah, but what's one of the first things we do is we go to Google or Bing and we search what's the phone number for, and if that entity basically threw an ad up on Google, that's going to show up first.
Yeah, but
before any legitimate search
but
of a phone number.
If you're one of the old time people like me,
oh, then you have a Rolodex.
You better than that, you actually have something called a paper bill that you get every month, or a statement from that particular institution. On that, you can guarantee you got the right number.
But you have to pay for the paper bills to even come in your mail nowadays.
No. Guys, I'm curious. Do any of you tape over the camera on your computers?
No. I've got one right here on my laptop. I can show you right now.
You're taped over.
Taped over. Actually, it's a special little toggle thing.
I'm too ugly to care. So,
but is it about ugliness?
I don't think I do anything in front of my camera, number one, that they would be interested in. Now, on my home computer, I do have a sticky note over top of that. On my laptop, I don't bother, because most of the time I don't use it that much. And when I do use it, they have a beautiful view of what my headboard and my bed looks like. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Gary, I'm curious. Do you tape over the camera?
No, I don't bother. Who's gonna bother looking?
Okay.
And like Cal, I don't do anything.
Well, they'll be looking now.
I don't do anything interesting anyway, you know. Yeah.
And you definitely have a face for radio.
Yeah.
I definitely have a face for radio.
Well, the dangerous part, my aunt said that nobody would want information about her accounts, but the problem is something could be said on a microphone or seen in a camera that could be used to go after your family and friends. It might be as simple as reading a book on a bookshelf or a series of books and sending a phishing email to the person who is listed as family members on the Facebook site.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, they can email that redhead board anytime they like. And if it answers back, baby, I'm going to be on the internet selling that video.
You know what? And it used to be that when you walk in some facilities, you actually, they either confiscate your phone or they put tape over your cameras. But now we have phones that actually have three cameras in them. some of the newer iPhones have two cameras on one side and one on the other.
That's so true.
They're going to run out of stickers pretty soon.
Just take a Campbell's soup can and just drop it over your phone.
Oh, I like that.
Well, you know, we're inviting these things into our homes. Google has a new device that's similar to the Amazon Alexa.
Yep.
And this Google device was recording everything.
No.
Google's corrected it, and it was a bug. But who's to say that a hacker could not compromise an Alexa or any of these systems?
No, that might be pretty interesting listening at your house, Kevin.
I absolutely do not believe ever when they say it was recording everything. Oh, that was a bug. That can't be a bug. That was we got caught, and we're going to fix it.
I finally met somebody more cynical than me.
Kasten Thomas, thanks for being. Hey, you're going to hang around, right?
Of course.
All right. Kasten's going to stick around, too. By the way, we will have time for some questions coming up in the second hour of our show. Right now, we're going to take a pause, and then Mike Brennan is back with news. It's time for MI Tech News Headlines with Mr. Mike Brennan. Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Foster. Thanks for asking.
Good to have you on the air with us this week and our special live program so folks can understand, remember that you are a regular part of our podcast and that, as a matter of fact, there's this great service called MI Tech News that you have where on twice a week they can get headlines on the tech and entrepreneurial headlines of what's going on in our fair state of Michigan. Am I not right?
Well, actually, they can get it 24/7 because there's a website hooked up to those e-newsletters. So we push it out on Wednesdays and Fridays, but it's available whenever they want to come to mitechnews.com.
Excellent. Yes, that's right. You're developing stories all the time. Well, let's talk about some of the examples of those headlines. One of them is that something called SAHI Cosmetic won a $100,000 prize in the Rise of the Rest road tour. First of all, what is that road tour?
Well, it's something that AOL co-founder Steve Case is involved in. He's been doing it for 3.5 years. And in fact, when he kicked it off 3.5 years ago, he did the show in Detroit. So we talked about that. Later on, we'll be talking about the video that I shot with him. So essentially, they go around to about 5 or 6 cities. Ann Arbor was selected this year because we had a long interview on that as well, where he talked about how Ann Arbor's really become a hot place for high tech. But then I was kind of curious because I contacted his people and I go, a cosmetic company doesn't sound high tech to me. And so his VP of communications said, well, we invest in a lot of startups. So they don't necessarily have to be in high tech, but that's predominantly where they're doing the investments. Mm. Anyway, a $100,000 check on Friday went to this company.
No, that's nothing to sniff at. And congratulations to SAHI Cosmetics.
Hey, Foster, what about this story on here about PC sales on the decline for the 12th consecutive quarter?
Really?
Yeah. Can you say anything about that, Mike?
No, we didn't talk about that, but that's on my website. I think that's a report that came in from Gartner Group. This is worldwide. They're doing a little better in the U.S., but around the world, 12 consecutive quarters of declining sales. Everybody carries a smartphone these days, and essentially, for a lot of folks, that's all they need for a computer. I mean, for guys like us that do typing, that doesn't work. But again, for most folks, it does. So,
I wonder along those lines, guys, maybe a little speculation here, the new iPhone 3. Apple Watch.
Yes.
The third version. You really don't need to have a phone.
No, it does have cellular in it, but, still, I think PC is not, the PC or the personal computer is not disappeared and not going to disappear for the foreseeable future, at least in my opinion.
But I wonder if that won't accelerate it to some extent. The fact that some people are going to say, what do I need all the rest of that stuff for? If I have my phone, I can answer calls. I can see text messages.
Just wait till the X-Gen starts needing bifocals, and then we'll be right back to where we started from.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Mike, one of the other headlines here is that the climate change action window could be closing as early as 2023. First of all, who's making that prediction?
U of M professor of mechanical engineering. He's talking about the fact that Trump is eliminating the clean power plan, which, you know, most of our electricity in this country comes from coal, burning coal. But a lot of it now is being converted over to natural gas, which is really a bigger threat to coal-fired plants. But he was saying if we go away from that plan, we ignore the Paris Accords on climate change, that we could hit a tipping point by 2023. The big concern is that they think by the end of the century that global temperatures will increase by 2 degrees Celsius, which, if I could do my conversions, that's about 3 or 4 Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
And that extra temperature change could melt the ice caps, could, you know, raise the seas, could flood the coastal areas. And so there's a big concern about that.
Yeah, I won't be around to see that, but my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, probably will. And for you,
another 50 years, Foster. You can hang in there another 50 years.
Yeah, just look at the bright side. You could go to the coast of Pennsylvania and get some great lobster.
Yeah, there you go. I was just
thinking,
right?
Just thinking that. Start buying property in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
yeah.
My word. You know, you mentioned before that you spent some time, and it's on, by the way, if you go to mitechnews.com, folks, you can find this. There's a link there to a video interview that you did with Steve Case, who was the founder of AOL when he was in Ann Arbor. And tell me some of the highlights for you of doing that kind of an interview. By the way, a very good one.
Thank you. Yeah, well, actually, I broke it into two. It was about 8 minutes long. So I did one segment just on where he's talking about what the Rise of the Rest show is all about. And then towards the end of the interview, I asked him to zero in on hot technologies, on Michigan in particular. So there's actually two of them up there. But, yeah, I don't get a chance very often to interview a billionaire, and he's very candid, a very nice guy, actually. I mean, I've met some people that make a lot of money that aren't so nice. But he's a real nice fella. His staff took care of me, and he was very candid. He answered all my questions. He didn't do politician answers, so
no.
It was great.
No, it's a very interesting insight. So what did you think, first of all, Steve Case and the whole contest of the Rise of the Rest Road Tour, what do you think it's saying about Michigan and the whole tech trend that seems to be going on within our fair state?
Well, I mean, certainly it's affirmation. Ann Arbor is, you look at what the definition of a tech hotspot is or a tech hub, and Ann Arbor meets all those qualifications. It has the big university, it has the big investments. 55% of all venture capital investment in the state of Michigan goes to Ann Arbor-based companies. Now, there's other pockets of it, too. Grand Rapids is more of a healthcare center. Oakland County, you know, into the various things with advanced manufacturing and stuff like that.
Right.
But we were talking about, he calls it the Internet of Everything. He just says the Internet, you know, essentially, as we move forward, is going to get plugged into everything, whether we like it or not. So I brought up, well, that's great, but what about the security aspects of that? And he goes, yeah, we need a lot of work in that area. Because as we all know, that a lot of these botnet attacks recently have been harnessing your smart thermostat, your smart TV, because there's no security on them. And so, that's a big concern of mine personally.
Okay. Mike Brennan, by the way, our guest here, he's the editor of MI Tech News. And, Mike, just let's see, what do people get when they subscribe to MI Tech News, and what does that cost them?
Well, it doesn't cost them anything. Hopefully my advertisers continue to pay for it, that's a good thing, right? But then we send out a newsletter on Wednesday that focuses on all the podcasts, including this one you guys do, as well as IT and the D, Diva Tech Talk, our own. I mean, Matt and I have a show on Monday on the Podcast Detroit channel, so we highlight that. Normally have the stuff from MTAM, Mobile Technology Association of Michigan. Try to be all-inclusive. We also do some stuff with Small Business Association of Michigan. All that's in the Wednesday newsletter, as well as the videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Friday, it's more of a weekend read, catch-up. A lot of people read it over the weekend because I look at the stats, kind of like the Sunday paper. Because it's like 20 or 30 stories, and take your pick. And we've added some new sections, one for Internet of Things, another one for virtualization. We're looking at adding a social media section. I mean, we're just getting so many stories in all those areas.
That's wonderful. Well, Mike, thank you very much for doing that, and thank you for being a regular part of our program. And, folks, even when we're doing the podcast instead of being on the air here live, you can count on Mike Brennan being there as part of the show as well. Mike, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Foster. Have a great weekend.
All right. Good to have you with us. By the way, folks, speaking of what's coming up in the next, well, after 6 o'clock, we're going to be opening up our phone lines at 800-859-0957. Maybe you're just tuning in, getting ready for the big MSU coverage of their football game, and you've got a question about your computer. It may be a printer, it may be your phone, it may be who knows what else. Our rule here is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
Actually, we have two rules.
What's that?
The second one is call early and call often.
Yeah, there you go. 800-859-0957, Ed Rudell, Cal Carson, Gary Baker down in Florida, and myself, along with Kasten Thomas, are here to answer your questions. And again, that number is 800-859-0957. And we will be looking forward to doing that after the news at the top of the hour. We'll be there for a little while. So, yeah, you can start lining up right now, and we'll take your calls just after we finish the news at the top of the hour. Until then, let's take a pause for just a moment. We're going to get some news headlines, and when we come back again at the top of the hour, it'll be time for your calls at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor on the air for you.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. You'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Thank you so much for joining us for this Internet Advisor Live Edition. And we are on the air until 6:30 when game coverage will start with the MSU green and white. And until that time, our phone lines are open to answer your questions at 800-859-0957. Dorothy from Warren and Jack from Dearborn will be getting to you shortly. We've got a whole group of people in here just chomping at the bit to get your answer. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Normally, this would be like the second half of our program, and we would have a full hour to answer your questions when we're live here on WJR, our flagship station. But as it is, Michigan State University football is coming up at the bottom of the hour. So what we're going to be doing is taking your calls right now. It's good to get in touch with us at 800-859-0957. And we've got a caller coming in, and we're going to get to Dorothy at 800-859-0957. Dorothy, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Hi. I have received three strange emails.
Okay.
They are addressed to a bunch of letters and a bunch of numbers, and the subject is I'm supposed to open this immediately because I've received an Amazon reward. The next one is I've received an Amazon Prime reward.
Mm-hmm.
Open immediately. How are they getting into my computer with these strange messages?
I see what you're saying. How did they arrive in the first place? Since they certainly they don't seem to be addressed to you.
No, they're not addressed to me. The first one is addressed to U0230.
Yeah, exactly.
FC.
Yeah. You know, what am I doing getting that kind of of an email? Go ahead, Kasten.
Well, they're sending them to your address because there are registries of people who have email addresses, and depending on your email address, they may just be guessing it. I mean, my email address.
No.
But in the to line of the email, it's just a bunch of numbers and letters that are unrecognizable. And so she's, you can spoof those as well. That doesn't really mean anything.
Well, that's not so important as what's called a blind carbon copy. In your email system, Dorothy, what you can do is you can send an email to someone, and if you click on the right boxes, something will appear called a blind carbon copy or a BCC. So what they're doing is they're sending this email to thousands or tens of thousands of people who are BCC'd, and because they're using an email address in the email that appears, it's able to disguise the list that they're using that you're a member of, whether you signed up or not. You didn't. But
Now that's interesting. So basically the two line has their phony type of whoever they originally tenant to, but the actual distribution list of these tens of thousands of people are actually in the BCC line, and they can't see each other, nor can that does that list appear in the email address. Oh, that's interesting.
Right. So it hides the ability of someone who does what's called computer forensics or security forensics, just like NCIS. Now, there are computer professionals who can take a list of emails and see what the source of that email was so that they can potentially go back to the source that produced it. Well, so this is just another way of hiding their identity.
The important thing is, what should Dorothy do with those emails?
Delete, 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 and don't worry about it. You were just brilliant in detecting that they didn't belong there.
Right.
It's a nuisance. That's the world we live in. You just delete your nuisances and move on in life.
Well, now, how would you delete them without opening them?
It's very simply.
In your email, you just delete them like you delete all your other emails.
Well, see, a lot of people have preview pane enabled by default. I do not, and most tech professionals do not have preview pane. But a lot of people, they like scrolling through their emails, and then it appears in a preview pane, and that's probably what our listener has
Is that true, Dorothy, that you have you know what a preview pane is?
Or preview email.
So. Or preview. Yeah. So you're seeing that it's saying, hey, you've won this or that, or you're eligible for this or that.
The important way to delete them, though, is not to double-click on them. Only click once to select it, and then somewhere on the screen there's a little delete button.
A garbage can. Exactly.
Okay. Right. But and this is a good opportunity for most of our listeners. Don't enable preview mail, read mail. And as easy as it is, as soon as you read it, if it has hypertext in there, then it's downloading graphics and everything else.
I had not thought of that.
What happens? Oh, we have a live one. We have a live email. And then
That's why I'm not opening this.
Good. Well, and what Ed's saying, though, and this is a caveat, I guess, for all of us, is that if you have the preview pane open by default, and you can change that in your settings, it is indicating to somebody that there is somebody receiving this, rather than it's just kind of bouncing off into the Ethernet.
Sure. And Dorothy, there are some other things that you can do away with the annoyances. Depending on your email, very often the emails will have a checkbox so that you can check multiple emails and just check those checkboxes and delete them all at once, or send them to spam.
Right. Or send them a spam. Spam, I think, is a good idea. Send them a spam, then they won't come back and bother you again. Okay, Dorothy?
So I should send them to spam rather than delete them?
No, I would say just delete them, okay? Don't complicate your life or run the possibility of opening them up.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, if you are seeing them multiple times,
I've got three or four of them. Here.
Okay, then I would send them the spam so that they're not in your inbox, because that way you don't have to worry about them. And that way you'll know they're bad players.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Well, way to go, Dorothy. Thank you very much for calling and highlighting that, because I know it's a problem that a lot of people have. And Ed, thank you for what you said about preview pane. I had not thought of that, and we'll change that setting on my email.
Well, and I didn't think about what Kasten said about the BCC. That makes perfect sense.
Yep. All right, our number here is again 800-859-0957. We've got Sue and Troy and Mildred in Detroit. We'll be getting to you and to your calls as well in the time that we have remaining before game time begins. Thank you for joining us here for our live version of the Internet Advisor, my first time back since being in the hospital, and I'm just delighted to be here with my crew. Ed Rudell, Cal Carson, and Kasten Thomas, thank you so much. Good to have you with us. And down in Florida, Mr. Gary Baker, good to have you on the line with us as well.
Always good to be here.
Hey, Foster, real quick, I just wanted to say that tomorrow, on October 15th at 3 p.m., the Mac Group will be meeting at the Birmingham Temple, and we'll be talking about the new Apple products like the new iPhone models, Apple AirPods, Apple TV, and all the accessories that are going to be going on with that. So check at internetadvisor.net or go to macgroup.org for more details.
And if you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll also see that listed on our page for the show notes for today.
Another quick thing that to mm-hmm. remind people about is if you used any of the electronic filing packages with your tax returns, like TurboTax, that sort of thing, and you filed an extension on Monday is the deadline for the last e-file for that tax year of 2016.
Thank you for that reminder. I need that one this year because okay. We won't go into that. Mildred from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may I help you?
Thank you. I have an old computer, and listening to your program, I've decided to donate it to the Salvation Army.
Okay.
Salvation Army, yes. Mm-hmm. However, there is personal stuff in the mm-hmm. computer itself.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And how do you erase that?
Okay. Kasten, ideas?
Well, there's one thing that's going to save you a lot of time. I do not believe that the Salvation Army is taking computers anymore. They aren't taking those donations.
However, I do have another suggestion you may want to consider, and you have to give them a call ahead of time, but the Recycling Association for Southeast Oakland County in Southfield next Saturday on the 21st will be taking all sorts of electronic equipment, including computers and that sort of thing. You may want to call them ahead of time and find out if they will take the computer and how they destroy it. And based upon how they destroy it, will determine whether or not you can do it with the hard drive in it or without it.
You know what? I thought once put it in water in my stationary tub.
Yes.
And running water.
You mean submerge the entire computer in water?
Uh huh.
Well, I wouldn't do that with the lithium-ion batteries in there right away. I mean, because you know, right? Because that
is it
bad.
A desktop
right.
or a laptop?
Pardon, what did you say?
Is it a desktop computer or
a
laptop?
It's a desktop.
Yeah.
That would definitely destroy your computer, but it probably would not destroy the data on your computer drive.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. Okay.
But if you have a magnet, you can open up the computer and run your magnet over that disk drive, mm-hmm. which will...
No, I don't.
Well, I have a hammer, so the best way to destroy
a hammer works very well.
I use my dad used to call them a cornering tool. It's what you use to. It's a sledgehammer, but when you're building a house, you use the cornering tool to slap the side of the house to make it true. So uh-huh. you could actually make it. Well, I'm sorry.
You know, sometimes I want to do that to my computer when it's not working.
The other alternative that you might be able to do if you have a neighbor that is good with a screwdriver or a young person that you know, like a nephew or niece, that you can contact, have them come over to the house and have them take the hard drive out of the computer. They'll probably know exactly what it is and have them hand you that hard drive. You can get rid of the rest of the computer and we can take care of destroying that hard drive later.
Yeah.
Okie dokie, I got you.
Yeah, and that can be done with a drill, for instance. Drilling through, you need a good metal bit on the drill. But you could drill a hole through the
My favorite way of doing this is just getting a propane or butane torch and just heat that drive up until it turns cherry red, and then it's pretty much a done deal.
Oh, you don't even have to cherry red it.
Yeah.
Okay. Just get it to about 300 degrees
but
in
I
the
like
plastic.
But I like the look of the cherry.
Mildred doesn't want
it. Hang on, guys.
Next time you make cookies.
Mildred, go ahead.
Listen, do you have a telephone number for the center that might consider?
I'll look it up for you after you get off the. I'll look it up while we're on the air, and I'll let you know what that number
is. What I'll do is I'll put you on hold, and we can get back to you at our next break, which is coming up.
Doesn't like Best Buy and other large box shops do recycling as well? I thought they did. And companies like Dell Computer will also accept recycled computers, I think, too.
I think if, with you know, Best Buy, you have to have bought it there, don't you? Isn't that the way it works?
They'll charge you a fee to do it. I don't know how much it is. It's not terribly expensive, but they will charge you a fee to take care of that, and they can take care of it as well. Mm. But I do have a phone number for you coming up.
Oh, okay, Mildred.
Relatively short here. We're going to try and be... Oh, here it is. Call area code 248-208-2270.
And that's for the Oakland County what?
It's the Oakland County Recycling Authority.
Okay.
And they're on they're in Southfield, Michigan on 8 Mile Road. Once again, 248-208-2270. And they're doing a special event next Saturday on the 21st.
Okay, and I don't want anybody running off the road trying to take down that information. I will put that on after the program. I'll put that on our website. So if you go to internetadvisor.net, you can, and you'll see the link to our program. It says we're back.
Yeah.
Look under the show notes there, and I'll put that in for you right after the program is over. Okay?
The website is rrasoc.org.
Wow, that's just a terrible name. Who came up with
that? Well, you know, I didn't make it up.
That's all right. But we'll put that on the website in our notes so you don't have to try to steer with your knees and try to write something, please. All right, let's get back and see if we can take another call before we wrap things up here, guys. Hello to Sue from Troy. How are you doing? And welcome to
Hi, nice to have you back. How are you doing?
Oh, it's good to be back. Thank you so much. What can we do for you?
My question is, yes, years ago, we were told to have a landline phone as well as our cell phone. Not put anything, you know, don't go on to your website for your bank or anything that's financial or whatever on your cell phone, because it's like broadcasting it on the radio, all your information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my son is telling me that is no longer true today, that you should get rid of your landline.
Okay. A couple of things to deal with there, guys. Just quick comments, Eddie? Did you have a comment? Or Gary? Gary, how about you? We have been keeping him out of the conversation. Gary?
Yeah, so I don't think that was ever true, and it's certainly not today. It's not a broadcast system. You actually have a direct connection via your mobile technology. So,
can I make a caveat on that, Gary? And that is... As long as you're using the cellular connection. If you're using Wi-Fi, you have to be more careful, correct?
I'm not using Wi-Fi. I don't have that as enabled most of the time.
But Cal, you're absolutely right on that. But she's talking about just using it as a telephone.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
If you're using relating to Wi-Fi. So in other words, if you're using a router attached to your desktop, that would be like broadcasting it then.
If you're hardwired directly to your desktop, no, that's not broadcasting.
Well, but broadcasting wirelessly, you got a Kasten's nodding his head furiously. You have to remember, and I'll let you explain, Kasten.
Well, Wi-Fi is different. One of the things that you want to look for when you're doing anything that you want to be secure on a website is there's a little padlock somewhere.
Yes. I always see that. Yep.
If that's in there, unless you're on Wi-Fi, you're almost perfectly assured that it's a secure connection.
And make sure you look for the HTTPS, as in secure,
right.
HTTPS, and then that's at the beginning of the
address.
That's
becoming very difficult. A lot of web browsers don't even want you to view the address bar because, you know, especially on mobile devices, because that takes up so much space. So
you don't see it.
You don't even see it.
Space is better used for ads.
Exactly. So, but it's almost becoming irrelevant. What do you need an address line for on your phone or your tablet?
This is a good example of why you want it, because it'll give you the opportunity to make sure that it's a secure line that you're dealing on.
Right.
Otherwise, you do not want to transmit the information.
Right. And I've noticed that with my Apple phone and my Android phones, that the address line by default is shut off. You know,
Unfortunately. Yeah, but if you are sending anything right. like to a bank or whatever.
Well, you know what? And the other good thing is most banks provide you apps for your mobile devices, which enables a certain amount of security, you would hope.
Sue, right. I hope that helps you calm your nerves, right?
Yes, thank you very thank much.
Thank you, dear. Gary Baker down in Florida, thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you with us again when we do our live programs during the wintertime. Otherwise, folks, we have a podcast every week, and you can find that through internetadvisor.net, or you can also find it at podcastdetroit.com. Ed, Cal, and Kasten, thank you so much for being with us. And Eric, thank you for being our engineer of record and getting us through a great show. Stay tuned, because coming up, it's going to be the big guys in green and white, and they're going to be on the football field. Root them on here on The Great Voice of the Great Lakes and The Great Voice of Michigan State University Sports. My name is Foster Brown, and on behalf of the crew here at the Internet Advisor, have a great week, and we look forward to talking with you once again and very soon live here on our program. Again, don't forget to look for the podcast at internetadvisor.net. Thank you very much for sticking around with us. This is the question and answer time on the Internet Advisor, and it certainly is one of our favorite times, has been for all the time that we've been doing our program since 1998, coming up on 20 years in February. We are going to be depending on being able to help you with your problems through email, and that's going to require our getting information from you about what your questions are. And you can do that by simply going to internetadvisor.net. And up on the top right side there, you'll see a Contact Us button. And you can click on that and then send us an email through that with your question about whatever happens to be bugging you. Could be your printer, could be the computer, could be like some of the questions we had today, which were on, how to get rid of a computer, your recycling, et cetera, et cetera. In any case, that's how we're going to be getting your questions, and we will answer them that way. Now, the other thing, too, is if you go to internetadvisor.net in our show notes, at the bottom of each show note, there is a comment section, and you can put your question in there as well.
And then Cal and I receive those emails, and then we'll do that. You know, one of the things we mentioned in Cal and my freelance last week was we talked a little bit about a little thing I purchased on Amazon, which allows me to plug into the bottom of my car, my OBD2 connection, and then I could download an app through the Amazon store. And you know what I did? I forgot that I go to Speedway to fill up my gas. I took all my 24,000 Speedway points and bought Google Play points with them. And I had quite a cash. So I actually bought the pro version of the computer scanner, so I can run it on my iPhone or my Android, in this case, Android. And so I have the full version that lets me scan my automobile and reset the engine codes, because I had some issues buying a car and I had to figure out what was going wrong with it.
Does that connect to your phone via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi?
It does. It's Bluetooth. And it was only $10. Actually, I bought the $20 version. But
tell me again. I heard you explain this last
week. So basically, it's a little thing that plugs into the computer port. You know, when you go to AutoZone and you say, can you read my engine code for you? And they say you got a PO450. And that means your catalytic converter on bank 2 is plugged. Well, which that's exactly what that was. Oh. So you could buy these things on Amazon. They plug in there. And you could download the app for your phone. And they have free versions.
And that's inside your car, too.
Yeah, it's underneath the dash where your left knee that's always bumping there. It's a computer interface. So... And I'm able to scan them, also to reset the engine codes. What's neat, you got a lot of people out there that like tweaking in their automobiles. And so they like changing their exhaust and see how much more horsepower they get.
Sure.
So there's a lot of people writing custom apps to monitor horsepower and engine performance. Me, I just want to know what the O2 sensors are reading on above and below my catalytic converter.
Why is that check engine light
on? Yeah. So is it my cat or is it my O2 sensors that are bad? So that's what I wanted to know. And I was able to switch my my Speedway points in to get my gas card and got free Google Play points. Twice as many. So I got twice as many dollars for Google Plays as I would for Amazon, because I used to get Amazon cards. You know, I get $5 for 12,000 points.
Yeah.
You know, what can you get for $5? Well, I got $10 on Google Play points for 12,000 points.
Well, for $10, you can get half of that device. Okay. So it only tell you if you have an 8-cylinder engine, it'll only tell you what 4 cylinders are doing.
Could you swap it around?
Yeah. But you know what? You turn around backwards to get the other four.
So that was fun. That was fun.
That's not the way this works. That's not the way.
Well, wait, we got to go ahead.
The way it works is when you turn the microphone on.
That's not the way this works.
What is that from? That's not the way any of this works.
Kasten Thomas is also with us in studio along with Cal Carson. And
well, there's a scary morph.
Oh my! All right, guys. As I said before, this, you know, now the way that you get your questions to us when we are doing our pre-recording and doing our podcast on a weekly basis, the way you get your questions to us is through the internet by sending us an email, and we have some this week.
Should we do this professionally, where I just give the first name and not the last name?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, are you ready for this? Ed just wrote in and asked a Microsoft question, and this question was, I have been using Firefox for several years now with great results. I'm very suspicious since I have my last update to Windows 10. I am now getting very slow responses. I then tried Microsoft's Edge, and the first screen I get is one touting the speed of Edge. Seems like a very suspicious coincidence. Have you heard of any similar complaints? Please respond to my email, and thanks for your assistance. Well, Ed, let me tell you something. As much as we'd like to think that Microsoft is going, if we slow down their Firefox, maybe they'll use Edge. I really don't think they're doing that at all. It's probably just a coincidence that it happened that way. When you upgrade to a new operating system, there's a lot of things that go along into that particular equation. One of the things is, how old is your computer? How much memory does your computer have? What sort of processor do you have on it? Are you using the most current version of Firefox that is compatible with Windows 10? These are all sorts of things that you want to consider when you do that situation. If any of those things aren't quite in balance, it may or could slow down your response that you're having with Firefox.
Kasten has a smirk on his face, and I got to find out why.
Let's go over to the Kasten smirk section of our Internet Advisor.
Well,
and
I took
find
off
out.
My technical hat and I put on my cynical hat.
Uh-oh. Please be cynical for us, my friend.
I would never dream of accusing of Microsoft doing this intentionally, but when they do provide an update, there are changes to drivers that can affect very low-level drivers that would affect video performance and other things. So it may be that Firefox is aware of these changes that have come. And even though you're running the current version, it wouldn't surprise me if next week Firefox came out with a newer version that corrects some of the performance problems that were created by Microsoft. And before you start complaining, remember how much you're paying for Firefox before you complain.
Good point.
Point well taken. So what Kasten has said in a very concise way that I'll make even more concise is, see if everything's up to date for all the software that you have. So they'll dance together in the same dance.
If you remember, Microsoft, after they first released, when they released Windows 10, then they received a security update a couple months after that. It affected millions of computers because of slow network performance, because they modified something in there in the background. And a release was released the following month that supposedly took care of that problem. So it's not unreasonable to suspect that some users may be, the same thing may be happening. We just haven't heard of it.
That's like casting twice. That's pretty good. Thank you, Ed. it really is true. I mean, what you said is absolutely true.
Yeah.
One of the things that we have mentioned before, and I think is worth repeating again, is the importance of keeping updates up to date, especially, I think, with any of them, with any of the systems.
You know, it's good to be on the leading edge, but not the bleeding edge.
All right. So now, along those lines, when you know there's an update, for instance, with Apple, they have come out with a number of updates recently.
Yes.
When it's a big system update, like OS 11 point whatever it is that they're going to.
Like 12.6.
Yeah.
Or 10.12.6.
You've recommended in the past, wait. Don't jump on it right away. Wait to see if there are any wrinkles. Am I right?
Yeah, I'll say that with one caveat with that, and that is, well, two actually. Number one, and I won't go into that whole process right now, it depends on how you're doing that upgrade, will depend on whether you need to wait or not. And then second of all, if it deals with something of security nature, if it's very critical, then maybe you might want to go ahead with that.
Okay. Guys, we have one other question that came up. As a matter of fact, it touches back on something we talked about in our first hour of the program, and that is about Equifax. And given the problems with Equifax, what is the question that was there?
Yeah. He wanted to know had we spoke about the Equifax breach. And so,
yeah, we did earlier in the program.
We did earlier in the program. But I think Kasten pretty much said it in the most concise way during that segment. Number one, make sure you check out whoever's sending you any information in regards to your credit or any breaches by checking them out directly, not going by the numbers or the information that's in the email or the letters they're mailed to you. And second of all, he suggested that you consider freezing your credit and taking that out of the picture. Correct, sir?
I believe so. And the most amazing thing is that I finally did something concisely.
Well, even when you're detailed, Kasten, it's very important because you give us the information that we need that's important for folks to be able to protect themselves in a security nature.
And I've got show notes for a six-hour show, so let's just extend the podcast.
There we go. You know something? That's something I want to do in the future when we have a chance is with the podcasts. In particular, is to expand a little bit on some of these things because they do require more conversation than we get to have in the rather brief time. That
we could do what we call an SS. Place. That'd be a security show.
There we go.
There
you go.
Super exactly. Sport and everything we need to know.
I'm in.
All right. Excellent. And you had mentioned the business of freezing. You can go to Equifax and require them to freeze, right?
Yeah, but you have to remember to freeze at all of the three major...
All three.
Yes. So that'd be Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian.
Yes.
Right. All three of those.
And that information will be posted on the Internet Advisor website.
Correct.
It's absolutely. We are also going to take a pause for just a minute, and we have another email question that came through. And again, we want to encourage you to go to InternetAdvisor.net, and when you get there, look for the Contact Us button and send us your questions that way. Thank you, by the way, to Ed Riddell, who has joined our engineering crew in stepping behind the glass for us for even just for a little bit here as we're wrapping up the program. And thank you so much.
Boy, if you thought he had a face for radio, man, he definitely has a face for engineering. But he's doing a great job.
You're doing a great job, as you did, as a matter of fact, last week with the two of you doing a great job of producing our podcast. And we're going to be doing that on a weekly basis now, making sure that we've got a good podcast available for all of you who enjoy listening to the Internet Advisor. Again, the only way in the second part of our program that we can answer questions is if you'll provide them to us. Like, for instance, an old friend of ours, Paul Sr. from down in Houston, Texas, and he didn't blow away with the hurricane, fortunately, down there, and was spared a lot of the flooding that went on. I understand, but he had a question that he passed on to us.
Paul basically says he's running Windows 10. I got this message after playing some solitaire games every now and then. I've tried to do the solution that Microsoft says, delete video drivers, update video drivers, but my video is on the motherboard and I can't delete the drivers easily. Is this common occurrence in Windows 10 after upgrading from Windows 10 or Windows 8.1? Anyway, to get it fixed, if I reinstall Windows, will it put all the current stuff into the separate files and folders on my hard drive like it did on Vista? So I think he's having difficulty after Microsoft security or an update. And basically, he didn't describe what the problem was, I don't think. Says something, let's see, Windows 10 thread stuck in device driver.
Well, you know, Ed, I don't know. I mean, like Windows, I'm thinking right off the bat that maybe what he needs to do, because he's running Windows 10, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, perhaps he needs to go to the website of the motherboard manufacturer and see if they have any updated drivers for that motherboard, which will take care of all the various drivers on the motherboard, like if it's got built-in video, built-in audio, and that sort of thing.
Yep.
That would be the first place to start, correct?
Correct. That's the thing I would suggest, Mike. And this is especially true with laptops. I'm not sure if he's a desktop computer or a laptop user, but if you think about it, a laptop is just a motherboard with everything combined, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, go to the manufacturer's website or the motherboard or the computer manufacturer and see if they have Windows 10 drivers. If not, you can apply the Windows 8.1 drivers and install them. They will work on Windows 10. This happened to my daughter, and she, what was it, the video driver or the sound? Oh, the sound wasn't working right. After a Microsoft update, whenever she plugged an audio jack into the audio connection on the side of the computer, it wouldn't go to the audio jack. It just wouldn't register. So I had her go to the manufacturers, download the sound drivers for her laptop, and it worked.
And you know something? You make a point there. But I think nowadays with desktop machines, they're just like the laptops. Everything's built on the motherboard.
Right.
When was the last time you put a card into a desktop machine?
Just my credit card.
I mean, I haven't done a card in a machine in years.
You know, they have card readers, but you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like a PC card that goes into a slot that would support video or a sound card. I haven't done that in years.
Unless
it's
you're
all
a gamer.
Built on the motherboard.
I think the gamers obviously will juice up the sound card or the video card.
Well, you know what's really popular now is people going out and buying these motherboards, and then they buy a bunch of video cards, and they stack them in there, and they'll be 4 or 8 deep, right? And they can interconnect them with fiber optics, and they run Bitcoin on these things. They run Linux, and they do Bitcoin, and they do mining. And after maybe 6 months, they may be able to generate a half a Bitcoin, maybe a quarter Bitcoin.
Wow.
It depends how fast these things work. Because the processors on these video cards do 3D graphics for gaming and illustrations and even, you know, rendering, like making cartoons and videos. Processors in these things are so powerful, the command language is smaller. But it's enough to generate, to mine, if you will, bitcoins. It's just fascinating.
I saw a fascinating documentary on Bitcoin on Netflix a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
It's a year or so old documentary, but a big part of it was a professor, I believe he was in Pittsburgh, who filled his basement early on and started Bitcoin mining with these computers.
Yep.
I'd love to follow up. In fact, I'm going to Pittsburgh soon. I got to look them up and find out what's happened to them.
You know what? They had 2 weeks ago or a month ago, they actually showed pictures. It was on a new Google News website, and it was actually showing the Russian version of Bitcoin generators, and it was basically the size of the room we're in right now, and that how Russia was decommissioning this because they're doing their own mining, and of course, they've upgraded to newer computers, but it was computers stacked and shelves that would fit into our studio, if you will.
Where do you go to look to mine Bitcoin?
I don't know the nuances of it, but it takes a long time for the mathematics to generate the logarithms or
algorithms.
I always get that confused with logarithms. It takes a long time for them to generate the algorithms to accumulate the information to create a Bitcoin. I mean, we're talking months.
You know, I imagine that if I went to a junkyard and found an old cray sitting around there, I could probably generate maybe a half a Bitcoin after about 3 years or something like that. Because the newer machines are a lot faster.
It certainly isn't the get-rich-quick scheme.
No.
We know Pirate Bay was getting a lot of flack, and some of the hacks are allegedly not to do ransomware, but to take over the computers so that they can mine Bitcoins and pass those tokens back to the host site. So you might click on malware.
Oh, yeah. That's like a gang.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, and in the old days, in the altruistic days, here you were trying to either unwind DNA strands or look for star charts and stuff like that. And now the hackers are aliens.
Yeah.
And now the hackers are basically want you to generate Bitcoins.
You know, the closest I got to Bitcoin mining is like collecting, you know, empty bottles along the street.
Was that you last Friday night?
They actually pay off a lot better, too.
And on that note, we're going to wrap things up here at the Internet Advisor. Ed, thank you so much for your help.
Always great.
And Cal, thank you again for being in here. You guys have done
There's
a
no other place
job.
On earth I'd rather be right now.
And it has been, on behalf of myself, Foster Brown, I want to thank you all for your patience with us. We've been off the air. We've been kind of playing hide-and-go-seek here, but we're back. and we're doing our podcasts, and we're going to put them up in such a way that we can stay in touch with you folks on a regular basis every week. Caston, thank you so much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
You
just
have become a regular. You
know?
Have become a regular to the program.
I don't feel special anymore. And I like
so
that.
Where else can you have so much fun for so little money?
Hey, Gary Baker, my buddy, been around for 20 years. Thank you so much for being here as well.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.